from Cardiac News, and of course, welcome to the Spirit of Bikers, a voice for the American biker culture, 1% of key keepers of that culture and supporters worldwide. Tonight's show is a special feature on some troubling government news by accumulated specific information provided by other reputable news sources, much of which you may view via YouTube. Now, I'm your host, Hammer and Hank, with special Freedom co-host coming up, Kurt Byrne. Both Kurt and bad rep Mike Willig will give special commentary between audio news blasts that we present. Now, grab a beer or whatever moves you and take note. This info is absolutely no bullshit tonight. Never on the Spirit of Bikers. And, of course, I'd like to get right into it with Mike Willig, bad rep. And always honored to have you on, Mike. And I know you're covering the Sixth Amendment quickly tonight. Is that true?
That's right, Hank. Good evening. Article 6 of the United States Constitution reads, "In all criminal prosecution, the accused shall enjoy the right to a speedy and public trial by an impartial jury of the state and district wherein the crime shall have been committed, which district shall have been previously ascertained by law, and to be informed of the nature and cause of the accusation, to be confronted with the witness against him, to have compulsory process for obtaining witnesses in his favor, and to have the assistance of counsel for his defense." That's Article 6.
Who's that applied to? That's never really applied to me. I mean, there's always some missing piece to that, Mike, when you face the authorities, but especially the American biker culture, you know?
That's right. You know, knowing this right here is crucial. If you're accused, you're in trouble with the law, guilty or not. It basically protects us from the kangaroo court, the setup, the mock trial, or the lack of trial at all, and you being able to provide your own defense, speak your mind, bring witnesses, evidence into court in your favor, and these are things under attack right now.
That's right, especially with the NDAA, which we're going to cover specifically by other reputable news sources this evening. And I thank you for your commentary there. And I'd like to bring on right away our special co-host. This is Kurt Byrne. Kurt, you there tonight?
What's up, Hank?
Hey, peace, love, revolution. And Mike Willig is on with you as well. And both of you will share commentary.
What's going on, Mike?
How you doing?
Good. How you doing, brother?
Good, man.
All right, now, Kurt, you heard the Sixth Amendment, right? That we have a right to this and a right to that and a right to this if we're accused and this, that, and the other thing, right?
I did, yes.
Yeah. And you also see some quirky stuff with it as far as actual experience that you've seen with other people and what have you, right?
If you think that you have rights as a U.S. citizen based on the Constitution, then I believe you can fly, Hank.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. And Hank can fly. But, well said, right, Mike?
Yeah, it's sad. You know, I believe you do have those rights. I'm not going to give up
that.
You know, it's a fight, which is sad. You know, you're looking at a lack of education on the people of the United States, and they're basically misled and led away from the rights they have, the knowledge of that. And the process is now the farming of our minds and, you know, the basic general global sentiment trying to denationalize our country and make us all sheep.
That's right. yeah, you got any out there on the farm there, Kurt?
No, goats and horses, no sheep. No sheep in my fucking farm.
Yeah, nah, I don't have any. Listen, both of you have a certain frame of mind that you get from your own experience, what we're going to do is hit right into the news sources right now. The reason why I started with and have permission to play Judge Napolitano is because right after he did the second interview you guys are going to hear, Fox dropped his contract based on pressure, all right, It seems everybody, like last year, was Jesse Ventura, was cut off from his show once he revealed that there's camps being built all across the United States, you know? And of course, they have that law now in the Patriot Act that if the feds approach you and say, we're doing this and that and this and that, now you, we invoke this law. You can't say anything about it. You can't tell anybody that what we talked about or that we even talked to you. You know what I mean? So that's been shutting down a lot of major people. So we're going to get right into it right now. And I'm asking both of you to give commentary right after these pieces, okay?
Sounds good.
Sounds good.
Okay. So here it is, Judge Napolitano, the NDAA prior, a week prior to its passage.
Joining me now is Senator Mike Lee, who stated that, quote, "We will not allow American military personnel to arrest and indefinitely detain U.S. citizens." Senator Lee, it's always a pleasure. Welcome back to Freedom Watch.
Thank you, Judge.
Senator Lee, tell me where you stand on this. I know there were a number of votes, and some of them were procedural, and some of them were substantive, and it seemed to those of us watching from a distance that at one point you were not upset by the McCain-Levin proposal, and yet you ultimately voted against it. So, does the United States government, through the military or any other agency, have the authority to arrest Americans and lock them up without a trial, without a judge, without charges?
It claims that authority. It should not have that authority, and that's why I was an original co-sponsor of the Feinstein Amendment. It would have made that point clear. And that's another reason why I voted against the final bill when it came up for a final vote, is because these provisions remained in there that appeared to extend that authority. That is, the authority indefinitely to detain U.S. citizens without trial, and I'm strongly against that.
Are you as perturbed as I am about the entire concept of using the United States military for domestic law enforcement? And, of course, we're not talking about directing traffic. We're talking about sending troops into the streets or into people's homes to arrest them without any judicial intervention or need to file charges whatsoever. Does this trouble you?
Oh, it troubles me immensely because, among other things, it violates the Fifth Amendment. It violates the Sixth Amendment. It has the potential to result in severe violations of the Fourth Amendment. And it also violates the longstanding principle of posse comitatus, the idea that we don't enforce our laws on civilians within the United States through our military forces. This was the whole reason why the American Revolution took place, or a large part of it anyway, and that's why I've been consistent on this front.
The bill that now is on its way to the House, or is at the House, if it is voted on by the House of Representatives and signed by the President, will this reprehensible, utterly troubling, and profoundly unconstitutional provision become the law of the land, and the President can dispatch the military to arrest anyone, perhaps you or me, without evidence, without a charge, and without a judge intervening?
Perhaps so, yes. Now, with or without this law going into effect, these are authorities now claimed by our government, which is disturbing in and of itself. But once you codify it into law, that takes the disturbing aspects of this bill to a whole new level, and that's one of the reasons why I've been so concerned about it. We have to remember, Judge, that it's not just about what the government's doing today. They're not today going out and just randomly arresting people on the streets. But that doesn't mean that a few months or a few years from now, they might not extend their authority that much further. That's why we need to put in place specific structural restraints so the government doesn't and knows that it can't exercise this kind of authority, resulting in indefinite detention of U.S. citizens without trial.
It's perhaps a little unfair for me to ask you to get into the head of your colleagues, Senator Lee, but there were only seven of you who voted against this. 93 senators, including some colleagues of yours as heretofore faithful to the Constitution as Jim DeMint of South Carolina, voted in favor of this. What's in their heads? Don't they see the profound violation of the Constitution? Don't they see the profound opportunity for the abuse that you just characterized to be used by some president in the future whose name they don't know and in whose hands they would repose no trust?
I unfortunately can't speak for them. I know only what my concerns are, and I've tried to express those to my colleagues and will continue to do so. I remember the words of the Federalist Papers that if men were angels, they'd have no need for government. And if government could be run by angels, then we would have no need of these pretty burdensome structural restraints on government power. But the fact is, we're not angels, and those who run government are not angels, and that's why we have to restrain their power. And giving U.S. military the authority to arrest and indefinitely detain a U.S. citizen without trial is a recipe for disaster.
Isn't it equally as offensive to the Constitution if the U.S. military arrests non-U.S. citizens on U.S. soil? Because after all, the Fifth Amendment protects persons. It doesn't limit its protection to Americans.
That is right, Judge. There are different standards that sometimes I think have to apply when you're talking about a prisoner of war situation. During World War II, when we arrested Nazi soldiers, we didn't suddenly subject them during the time that they remained as prisoners of war to the U.S. court system. We didn't allow them to avail themselves of that benefit. So I think there is a difference between citizens on the one hand and prisoners of war on the other hand. But no matter where you and I might disagree as to proper treatment of prisoners of war, I think we ought to all be able to agree as Americans that indefinite military detention without trial of American citizens is categorically unacceptable.
Senator Mike Lee, defending the Constitution. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
Today, the HPR is pleased to welcome Judge Andrew Napolitano. Judge Napolitano, commonly known as the Judge, has provided legal analysis and political commentary for the Fox News Channel since 1998 and currently serves as its senior judicial analyst. Judge, thanks once again for speaking with us today.
Nice to be with you, Nashi, as always.
I wanted to ask you, since I've been following your Facebook and seeing how prolific you are in discussion of the National Defense Authorization Act, it seems to be all but absent in most GOP debates, primary debates of late. So I'm wondering, where do you see the discussion of the NDAA going in the future?
Well, everybody running for president except one, I'm speaking of the major national candidates, is in favor of authorizing the president to have the powers that this abominable statute purports to give to him. And basically, everybody running for president but one is in favor of a big, muscular view of the Constitution, which is that it's basically just a guideline. And everybody running for president but one is in favor of a government that can write any laws, regulate any behavior, and tax any event. So it's no surprise that everybody running for president but one doesn't want to discuss the dark side of government, where the president on his face or openly without requiring very much scrutiny violates the provisions of the Constitution. I mean, the Fifth Amendment could not be clearer. No person shall lose life, liberty, or property without due process. It doesn't even say no American. It says no person. It doesn't mean good person. It doesn't mean honest person. It means no person.
Mm-hmm.
It's beyond me how any president could claim that he could take life, liberty, or property without due process. President Obama has done that by his own admission, has killed at least two and maybe more Americans. And now this statute purports to authorize President Obama and others to do it. Only Ron Paul has sufficient fidelity in the Constitution to answer with one word, under what circumstances can the president arrest an American without trial or kill an American? Answer, none. Now, fidelity to the Constitution is not something to be mocked the way Mitt Romney and Newt Gingrich and Rick Santorum have mocked Ron Paul, and the way President Obama would if Congressman Paul became the Republican nominee. Fidelity to the Constitution should be the minimal requirement for anybody wanting to run for president, because the Constitution demands fidelity. It sets forth in it the oath that the president must take, and it requires that he cannot become president until he takes the oath. So unless the oath is a falsehood, unless the Constitution is meaningless, unless it's not the supreme law of the land as it says it is, then fidelity to the Constitution, or I should say absence of fidelity to the Constitution, should disqualify a person from running for president. So all these candidates but one think that they can become president just by not discussing and not admitting that they are tempted to engage in violations of the Constitution.
And there you have it. Now, before we get to commentary from Mike Willig and, of course, Kurt, I want everyone who's listening who has the ability to bring up a browser, all right, and then go to Google, okay? Now, type in something like, "Are biker clubs involved with terrorism?" Okay? All right. Now bring up another browser and go to eHow, eHow.com, all right? An innocent information site, all right? This is just an educational information site. And type in, what biker gangs are on the USA terrorist threat list, okay? Now, it's very important that you do these two things because, number one, it shows in Google, all right, essential public opinion, all right, that isn't actually public opinion, but it's influenced by the authorities and propaganda. But everybody knows what I'm talking about, that as long as they have any biker club, all right, somehow associated with terrorism, all supporters and anyone on a motorcycle is going to be subjected to any bill that's passed like the NDAA. So I'm asking everyone, no matter what colors you got, no matter where you're from, all right, you've got to pay attention to this shit. This is serious, all right? This is very serious. This ain't a game no more, and it's not conspiracy anymore, all right? What you're about to hear next after our commentary will show you this is not bullshit. The two things you heard from Judge Napolitano were just prior to the passing of that bill and right after the passing. And, of course, Judge Napolitano, a very powerful individual who had Freedom Watch on Fox News, lost his contract as a result of what you heard. Okay? Now I'm going to bring on Mike Willig, and I'm going to bring on Kurt. Kurt, Mike Willig, first, Mike. Mike, what's your commentary on what you heard the judge speak
about? On his first commentary, you know, about the NDAA, it's a stark example of what the administration and the previous administration has learned in Iraq and in Afghanistan. They're dealing with people who have adverse political views to the administration that were well-armed. Well, most of them were. They pushed their values upon these people. They kicked down doors. They dragged people out, killed people, detained them without trial. Now, over in Iraq, they can get away with it. And they saw how successful that was. They put the insurgency down with violence. Now they're applying that to us. They want the same process to happen here. There's a bigger, stronger hand dealing with belligerency, with adverse views of our administration, because instead of allowing us peacefully to speak our minds, they're going to kill us or detain us to shut us up. And on the other part, what he was saying is exactly right. Any president that takes an oath to the Constitution, and then at the same time violates it, is a criminal, is a traitor. But for some reason, it seems that they stand above the law, and they stand above the oath that they gave when they took office. And even, as he said, the people running for president, which shows you who the fuck are you going to vote for? There's nobody
it doesn't
to vote
matter.
For.
Anybody but Obama.
It doesn't matter. Yeah, well, see, there's the problem, Kurt. It doesn't matter which party. What the citizens aren't being told is there's a 25-year plan that keeps advancing itself, and no matter who's in office must maintain this plan. Doesn't matter what party.
Basically, you're picking the less stinky, putrid shit out of the toilet. That's your best option. Who's the least worst?
Right,
and that's
Kurt.
All we have nowadays. That's
I think what's going on in this country, too, is something that not a lot of people talk about, and that's something that's called the New World Order. That's my own personal opinion, and I like to say that the purpose of the United States Constitution is to limit the power of the federal government, not the American people. It's completely flipped around. And we're just letting it happen piece by piece by piece. Now, I don't know if you two are familiar with another law that just got signed in by our wonderful president right now, and that has to do with federal lands and protesters, which, to my knowledge, you have the right as an American citizen to protest, to walk a picket line, protest anything that you want to. But now, with this new law, if you are on federal land and, say, like a senator or assemblyman or something of that nature who works for the government is on the same land, they can have you arrested for a felony now.
Yeah, that's right.
Are you aware of
that? Trespass bill.
Yes.
It's amazing to me. It's a basic civil right that they've taken away, and nobody knows about it. Nobody cares.
Yeah, well, see, here's the thing. Next week we're going to cover that and also another one, a move they're making on guns again, all right, that Mike is hipping us to. And we're going to cover that next week. But right now that applies to what is about to come up next, Kurt. And, Mike, you ready?
Ready.
All right. Listen to the next two. Listen to the You got your stapler, huh? All right. Here
yeah,
we go.
I got my have to unlock it.
Here we go.
Our facility, it was built in Indiana. It was modeled off of a modern facility in Michigan. It originally was designed in the States and brought down here in sections, so we put it together like one big Lego piece.
Then people started noticing on the backs of flatback rail cars these little one- and two-person mobile concrete jail cells. And those indeed have been manufactured by the tens of thousands and purchased by the federal government and local governments. And they've been stockpiling on county, city, state, and federal land hundreds and hundreds and hundreds per site of these little mobile concrete jail cells. So there certainly is a buildup of that type of equipment.
Years ago, the military issued a challenge to create a faster and better razor tape. They wanted a barrier that would be at least 50 inches taller than the standard fence and one that could be deployed faster than 30 man hours.
Ulster County-based Cobra Systems is getting ready to ship the first batch of its express razor wire to the U.S. military. The system allows soldiers to lay hundreds of yards of wire from the back of a vehicle in just a few moments.
This is more of an action of a country that has gone absolutely berserk, that they feel that they would have to jail their own citizens, that the government would fear its own people so much that they would be talking about detaining people or incarcerating them or vetting them or investigating them or whatever. This whole thing has been turned on its head. So anytime that you can demonstrate the power of government and you want to condition people into a way of thinking or to intimidate them or make them fearful, do actions that are going to put the fear of government and authority in people's hearts, strike that chord, and make them shut up. Just when people in this country should be doing exactly the opposite, because I don't even recognize this country anymore.
Attention, attention, attention. American forces are here to help. Remain calm. We will not tolerate civil disobedience.
And of course, you can find that right at YouTube. Type in Camp FEMA. It's real. Right in the United States, practicing in the United States as military, they pull up these big trucks and they pull out razor wire and run it up the street, run it up the front of the street. It's absolutely amazing that they're practicing right here in this country, and it isn't for Iran and Iraq, because everybody who's been in the military knows the rules, right? When you practice, when you get ready, right, you try to get as close to that environment, conditions, and housing, etc., as possible, all right? Now listen to a recent commercial sent to me from someone in the military.
Military Occupational Specialty Internment Resettlement Specialist. This MOS plays an integral role in providing a uniform system of handling prisoners and detainees. Trained as Internment Resettlement Specialist to control and supervise detainees to ensure their humane treatment. For this job, the Army will train you to use specialized equipment to monitor activity, to conduct searches, and to inspect areas where prisoners work and live. Here, you'll train to in-process prisoners and detainees and to brief them on their rights. After your initial entry training and advanced individual training, you'll work long hours, day or night, in a garrison or field environment where you may practice emergency procedures, detect and confiscate contraband, and escort prisoners outside the facility. Military Occupational Specialty, Internment Resettlement Specialist.
Internment Resettlement Specialist. A job for the military, right here in the United States. And that's a commercial advertising to military personnel to join up, sign up for this kind of training. You can also see that at YouTube as well now, okay? Now listen to this piece, and this is about 9 minutes. It's worth listening to. Just so you know for sure, is this happening here? Or is this another fucking conspiracy? Wake up. Listen up. Then we'll get back to the commentary.
During debates on the banker bailout bill on the floor of Congress last week, Congressman Brad Sherman made a startling revelation.
Many of us were told in private conversations that if we voted against this bill on Monday, that the sky would fall, the market would drop 2,000 or 3,000 points the first day, another couple thousand the second day, and a few members were even told that there would be martial law in America if we voted no.
Martial law is defined as the rule by military authorities imposed on a civilian population. According to an article in the Army Times last month, the administration's threats of implementing martial law is not idle talk. In this shocking article, the U.S. Army admits they're bringing a combat team back from Iraq to continue their mission in America, and that this combat team will be assigned to NORTHCOM to assist in the event of civil unrest in crowd control through non-lethal weaponry. This deployment is, of course, in direct violation of long-standing laws known as Posse Comitatus and the Insurrection Act, which strictly prohibit the U.S. Army from policing American citizens on American soil. While such extraordinary steps toward the open implementation of martial law on the streets of America might seem like the Bush administration's last-ditch effort to keep the public in check while they rob the Treasury of hundreds of billions for their banker friends, it is crucial to understand that this is only the final stage in a careful plan that has been unfolding for decades through both Republican and Democrat administrations. Government plans to suspend the Constitution and effect martial law have been taking place behind the scenes under continuity of government contingencies first exposed in the mid-1980s and raised by Congressman Jack Brooks during the Iran-Contra hearings.
Colonel North, in your work at the NSC, were you not assigned at one time to work on plans for the continuity of government in the event of a major disaster?
Mr. Chairman,
I believe that question touches upon a highly sensitive and classified area, so may I request that you not touch upon that, sir?
I was particularly concerned, Mr. Chairman, because I read in Miami papers and several others that there had been a plan developed by that same agency, a contingency plan in the event of emergency that would suspend the American Constitution. And I was deeply concerned about it and wondered if that was the area in which he had worked. I believe that he was.
I most respectfully request that that matter not be touched upon at this stage. If we wish to get into this, I'm certain arrangements can be made for an executive session.
Urban warfare drills took place throughout the 90s, with American troops training with foreign soldiers to arrest and detain U.S. citizens.
What you're seeing is real. April 10th through April 20th in Swansboro, North Carolina. This has been repeated across the country in the last 2 years. So-called urban warfare training in America. Of course, in the case of Swansboro, they actually pulled people over and searched their vehicles with the local police department. A local listener sent me this video of the Swansboro incident. You see, they take out groups of young officers from across the country in the Marine Corps and teach them that it's okay to go into American towns and cities and take over the city halls and search vehicles. In this training exercise, it became real. They become so arrogant, they just follow their orders and began to search people's vehicles. And as you're about to find out, it's not just the Marines, it's the Army, too, in Central Texas.
These drills quickly became reality, as in 2005, the National Guard was deployed in the wake of Hurricane Katrina to seize legally held guns from law-abiding citizens against their will and at gunpoint.
No one will be able to be armed. We will take all weapons.
Police Department! Police Department at your home!
All of a sudden, they were banging on the front door, the side door, and the back door, and they said, let us in. I said, it's not even loaded, and I dropped it on the floor. Well, they punched me in the face. Look at my black and blue marks. Look at what they did to me.
In 2006, a secret government program came to light, which is recruiting clergy members to preach obedience to government in the event that martial law is declared. In 2007, the program was confirmed on CBS News.
If martial law were enacted here at home, like depicted in the movie The Siege, easing public fears and quelling dissent would be critical. And that's exactly what the Clergy Response Team, as it's called, helped accomplish in New Orleans.
Jeff, the primary thing that we say to anybody is let's cooperate and get this thing over with, and then we'll settle the differences once the crisis is over.
Such clergy response teams would walk a tightrope between the needs of the government versus the wishes of the public.
In a lot of cases, these clergy would already be known in the neighborhoods in which they're helping to defuse that situation.
For the clergy, one of the biggest tools that they will have in helping calm the public down or obey the law is the Bible itself, specifically Romans, Romans 13.
Because the government is established by the Lord, you know, and that's what we believe in the Christian faith. That's what's stated in the Scripture.
And on May 9th, 2007, President Bush signed off on National Security Presidential Directive 51. This top-secret continuity of government plan effectively makes the president a dictator, allowing him to declare a national emergency for any reason whatsoever and implement martial law without the approval of Congress. The plan itself is so secret that not even members of the Homeland Security Committee in Congress are allowed to see its contents.
But now they've denied the entire Homeland Security Committee of the United States House of Representatives access to their so-called detailed plan to provide for continuity of government. They say, trust us. Trust us, the people who brought us Katrina, to be competent in face of a disaster. Trust us, the people who brought us warrantless wiretapping and other excesses eroding our civil liberties. Trust us.
These are just a few of the dozens of preparations that have already been completed to phase martial law in incrementally, bringing it about in stages, so an official declaration of military rule need not even be made. But if martial law is already a reality, what excuse will be used to turn the military against the American public?
Have you heard about this new thing going on in Great Britain that Al-Qaeda written up all these Britons, essentially, 1,400 strong, apparently, in a new, what's being called a new white Al-Qaeda army? Tougher to detect, potentially.
Yeah, because they're not Muslims. They look just
exactly
like
right.
Regular British people.
They're converts.
In 2001, Section 802 of the Patriot Act made any criminal offense, even misdemeanors, classifiable as terrorist activity. In 2006, the Military Commissions Act gave the executive branch the authority to declare U.S. citizens and residents unlawful enemy combatants and detain them in undisclosed locations indefinitely. And now, H.R. 1955, known as the Violent Radicalization and Homegrown Terrorism Prevention Act, currently awaiting passage by the Senate, will effectively outlaw dissent of the government, even on the internet. It seems the table has been set for those citizens who resist any government decree to be dealt with as terrorists by the U.S. military. And now that the banker bailout bill has been passed despite fierce public outcry, dissent has never been more rife amongst the general population.
Every nation in every region now has a decision to make. Either you are with us or you are with the terrorists.
You get it? You get it? Now everything was built there and pieced together, showing you the history of how this came to be right under your eyes, and all they needed was a couple incidents to cause the guys in order to do this, all right? All this stuff is already in place. And that's why I say we have to fight for the word culture to be established in human rights laws. So we have something to hold on to when they start pointing at bikers, biker clubs, motorcycle clubs, and telling the public who are just sitting there watching TV that these individuals are terrorists, etc. All right? Because already in their wording, in their reports, etc., they already say that. They already say that. In the most recent report they just released, okay, on gangs and this, that, and the other thing, OMGs and all this other crap, they went on to say OMGs, puppet clubs, and others. You know, they just throw in this "and others" so they can place anybody in that position. But right now I'm going to bring out our commentators, Mike Willig, and I'm going to bring up Kurt. We'll start with Kurt first. Kurt, from what you listen to and what you're personally aware of, what's your commentary, brother?
Straight and simple. The government is a fucking gang. Plain and simple. I don't know how else to say it. When you see all the facts laid out in front of you and everything, all I can tell you is, and this might sound radical and I might get branded for this, but arm yourself. And be prepared to do what you got to do, because I am.
Yeah.
This stuff's crazy what's going on here.
Yeah,
nobody's
all true.
Doing nothing about it. And you know, people say, oh, Obama this, Obama that. It's much deeper than Obama. You have a Senate, mm-hmm. you have an Assembly, you have all that. That's, 93 out of 100, he said, all but seven signed it.
Yeah.
So it's not just the president.
That's right. That's right. Mike?
Well, Hank, you pretty much, if you look into the portfolios of these senators, defense companies, contractors, rampant. So we know where they're getting their loyalty from. This isn't about saving America. It's about making a policy for the rich, the wealthy, the powers, which are the defense contractors, the oil companies, any type of magnates that have a global issue. Basically, they're globalizing. They're the biggest threat to globalization is freedom in this country. And we're the biggest hurdle. So for that to happen, for their plan to be implemented, that needs to fall. And they're doing it. They're doing it with money. They're doing it with power. They're doing it with psychological warfare training of our military people, perversion of duty and justice, patriotism, using fear, using suspicion, to turn good people against good people. It's a game that has been well thought out, well organized for a long time by some very smart, very wealthy people, but it's evil. And what we need to do, we need to do the same thing. We need to get organized. That's the only way. Because when they come with their organized plan and we go after them with our hunting rifles, it's going to be ugly. And it's going to be quick. We need to get serious. We need to start a coalition. Every town, every state in this country needs to have a coalition of people with the same idea, and that's to preserve the rights of the American people and not allow government, as Kurt said, to be a gang, to be a mafia, to make us so fearful of them, we'll do whatever the fuck they say. And that's exactly what we need to do.
Don't forget, Mike, you're missing one big thing that they also are using, and that's entitlements. And if you think I'm crazy, think about it. Because the welfare system, if you're a registered voter and you're getting a check, you're getting this handed to you, you're getting that handed to you, you're not going to vote against that.
Exactly.
You're crazy to vote against that. That's just one little drop in the bucket, too.
That's right.
That's very true. And in regards to what Mike was saying, of course, it's ironic. I don't know why, but Bad has been behind since the beginning, and Mike has worked with me as well on this. We'll jump back to you in a second, Mike, but if you go to Free One Percenter, and it's all words, freeonepercenter.com, go to the legislative page. You'll see there the Bad Legislative Action, and on there is forms, the form you can present to your town board, your city hall board, to the board, suggesting a resolution, and also a form that you just take it and you fill out exactly how it's supposed to look, that you send to Congress or your state representative. So we already have the toolkit, the war stuff needed to defend your rights right now. And as a small example, Mike, what are you doing with the form you provided that's on freeonepercenter.com?
Basically, it's a form that, and you can, like you said, you can tailor it to your town or village. Or what I'm doing is trying to get my county involved. That's probably the most realistic scale I can look to. You know, state would be great. Federal would be even better. But I start with my village with this resolution proposal, get enough signatures on the petition where the board has to consider it, try to talk to the members of the board, the mayor, the supervisors, whatnot, and present your case very intelligently and passionately, and maybe this gets passed. But we try to do it as a county, you know, all the towns in the county.
Right.
And it's an organization. It's in its infancy. I want to get some people from every town in my county to do the same thing I'm going to do in my town. And then from there, Hank, it's state level, and then it's federal.
Now, in this resolution, it merely suggests or asks that the town itself or the city itself or the village itself says that, hold it, we're not going to allow the government military to come in here and take our citizens away. We don't agree with this law. We agree with the Constitution. Is that correct?
Basically, Yeah, it just disallows any agent, employee, a law enforcement official of the town, village, or wherever the proposal was passed to aid or participate in any kind of interrogation, investigation, detention, or even assassination of any citizen of their town without due process. And due process basically means there's a charge, there's opportunity for counsel, there's a trial, and then, okay, they're guilty, throw the book at them, do whatever the fuck you want. But that's the process.
Now, you see, like I see, how they can easily target motorcycle gangs or clubs and gangs, they call them gangs, and biker clubs and bikers. You see it easily, right?
Yeah, we're fortunate in our area. We're not messed with much. A lot of the cops are sympathetic, and they understand what we're really all about here. You know, there might be a few bad guys here and there, but you know what? As a whole, there's definitely a stereotype. There's a lot of wiggle room for the police to be defiant of their rights, and basically, their voices aren't heard when there's something that needs to be challenged, and there's not a lot of sympathy. So, yes, there's definitely stereotyping. There's definitely in the biker community a reason to be wary of those violations.
Now, if we put in enough of these forms all over New York State, which we have some other people that are going to start working on it, enough outcry. Already the outcries we've caused, the threats where we're developing a habeas corpus, I mean, the word that all this has spread, the Habe from Alaska, the Habe submitted from the group we're involved in Tennessee, all of a sudden has caused Washington to cover up the NDAA where the public can't even look at it now. Is that correct, Mike?
Yeah, but now you can, and I'll tell you something. There's been some changes, and I'm still looking into this. I'm getting real confused. There's some backpedaling. Obama's backpedaling on it. the provisions, the two sections, 1021, 1022 are being described and reworked not to include U.S. citizens or U.S. persons now.
Right.
So if you look at what it says now, it looks like, well, we have nothing to worry about. And I just don't believe it. And if he signed this thing with those provisions in there and they're not there now, how did that happen?
Yeah, but listen now. What nobody can forget here is already under the Bush regime, a bill was already passed allowing the president, without Congress, without anybody else, to say martial law at any
time. Well, the Patriot Act was supposed to be a temporary thing. They use the war on terror as their vehicle for all these acts and all these special laws to be able to be enforced now. And a constant, never-ending war is what they want to accomplish here. And basically, we thought with Obama, or I didn't think, maybe some people did, that when he got in office, he's going to pull the troops off, and we're going to see the whole bullshit in the Middle East start to calm down. But we know now that our...
That'll never happen till the day man dies.
Right.
That's a religious issue, and it'll always be that way till man is no more.
And if you think
different than that, you're nuts.
Well, that's where they're getting their fuel for the world war.
I got a question for you, Mike. How come terrorists that are in Guantanamo Bay aren't afforded what we're being afforded, and that is the label of enemy combatant, yet there's AFL-CIO, they get lawyers down there and everything, and those aren't even American citizens yet. Now we're talking about you and me, our brothers, our sisters here, being locked up without habeas corpus, nothing. What the hell's going on?
No, it's because we're more of a threat than any terrorist is to the government.
That's right.
We can actually operate without using violence and terrorism and threats. We operate as Americans, free Americans that know and respect and value the American way, the Constitution. We're way more of a threat to our government than they are. The Constitution's the biggest threat to our government, and that's why they're attacking us now.
The irony of that is, in my mind, the Constitution is the government. That's the irony.
Well, it's our contract.
You got the proper frame of mind. Right, Mike?
The Constitution is a contract that the government has with us, the people.
Yeah.
We are the government. We elect our servants to serve us, and we tell them in this document what they are allowed to do and what they are not allowed to do and what is sacred to us that they can never, ever infringe upon. And that's all been turned around and perverted.
And with that, I'm going to run the last two audio bits. I want you guys to comment on this too. Hang on, Mike. Don't go anywhere, all right? And Kurt, don't go anywhere, all right?
All right.
Yep.
All right.
And we are back from break on the InfoWars Nightly News. Now, of course, you just saw the promo teaser for Dave Mustaine, the exclusive interview Alex Jones conducted. You haven't seen Dave Mustaine talk about a lot of these topics before. That's going to be released coming up. What, again, is the date on that, guys? That's going to be on Thursday, March 15th. So look for that, but just a teaser there. Now, as we move on to the next segment of news, let's just keep in mind that we've been in a, quote, parallel zone since 9/11. We've been in an alternate history, a twilight zone, if you will. And so let me just bring this up from December 1, 2002. In Terror War, a second track for suspects, the Bush administration is developing a parallel legal system in which terrorism suspects, U.S. citizens and non-citizens alike, may be investigated, jailed, interrogated, tried, and punished without legal protections, guaranteed by the ordinary system lawyers inside and outside the government say. And so you've got this entire alternate parallel system hinged on the ill definition of what the war is or who the enemy is. It's hinged on the idea that it could be transferred at any point to the general population. And that's why you see it developing in this way under Obama. And by the way, it's the classic tyranny practiced by Stalin, Hitler, and countless other despots, where they pretended to pass laws to go after certain enemies, then really mention of that particular enemy just disappears as they persecute whoever their favorite enemy is, or the general population, or both. And so you see more and more of that, not only with Obama and company again saying they can go to war on behalf of the United Nations or other international bodies, but you see more of this talk of how it's okay to state sponsor a killing on American soil, to indefinitely detain under NDAA without any kind of due process, or even letting people know what they're charged with or ever seeing the light of day. And again, all that was legitimized under Bush for shadowy jihadists, for Arabic or Muslim people who might be involved in this greater war in some kind of plot. And now it's just Americans. FBI director fails to refute state-sponsored murder of American citizens on U.S. soil. And you've got FBI director Robert Mueller unable to acknowledge how they're able to deal with this under the Constitution, says he's going to have to look into it. Well, it's just due process. It's in the Bill of Rights. It's in the Constitution. And it really should be common sense. Let's cue that video right now.
But what about targeting people on U.S. soil? Can they now kill American citizens inside the country? The head of the FBI, when asked about that on Capitol Hill yesterday, stumbled around on this.
Does that only apply to U.S. citizen that's overseas, or does that apply to U.S. citizen that's here?
I'd have to go back. I'm not certain whether that was addressed or not.
So that we have clarity.
And then you've got Paul Joseph Watson in his report commenting that a parallel legal system, the kind we talked about, is nothing more than a euphemism for dictatorship in which government claims it can create its own laws and murder anyone it likes without presenting any evidence. And so what you see here is they passed the NDAA law allowing for the indefinite detention of citizens. But you've got Obama, knowing it's a politically hot issue, passing around that hot potato, first saying he's not going to pass the bill, first saying he tried to talk Congress out of that language when Carl Levin revealed that the Obama administration had it put in the language. Then he said he wouldn't sign it. Then he waited to sneakily sign it on New Year's Eve. Then he issued a signing statement saying he wouldn't allow it to apply to Americans, even though it does. Then he issued the policy directive saying it doesn't apply to Americans. None of that has to do with the so-called law they put on paper and passed through the Congress. That is still on paper. It's still a tyranny. And even if Obama somehow was a good guy, even though he's a constitutional scholar and just lies and circumvents around the Constitution like all these other creatures, you still can't trust who's going to be in power in the future when you put these laws on the books. But it's not an accident. The same way you see Mueller skirting this issue and countless other figures over the years is just like that classic case, and I want him to play this video now, from 2006 when you had Michael Hayden, who was simultaneously head of the CIA and the NSA, trying to tell a reporter the Fourth Amendment didn't include probable cause when it's right there on paper. It's easy to read, but he claims he's the expert. He's the expert because he can, with a straight face, tell you it doesn't apply anymore, tell you it's not even in the language, written, printed, on paper. Let's play it.
My understanding is that the Fourth Amendment of the Constitution specifies that you must have probable cause to be able to do a search that does not violate an American's right against unlawful searches and seizures.
Actually, the Fourth Amendment actually protects all of us against unreasonable search and seizure.
But
that's what it says.
The measure is probable cause, I believe.
The amendment says unreasonable search and seizure.
But does it not say probable?
No.
The legal standard is probable cause.
So again, we're dealing with people with the audacity to say, no, it doesn't say probable cause when it clearly does. Now, it's not just that the FBI director, Robert Mueller, couldn't talk about the NDAA provision and the ability declared by the administration that they can kill even an American citizen on American soil. He can't comment on that. He also couldn't comment on why the FBI decided to release.
We're a little far down the line right now, but what I would suggest,
in order to keep all of ourselves out of these little internment camps. The even the idea that we're sitting here talking about this is beyond most people's scope of even understanding. But I would say until we got to a point in this country of martial law or internment camps or whatever, that we once again seek out the roots that made this country so great and so enviable in recorded history, that we go back to our founding documents, and that we start to eliminate that which is not constitutional, up to including money and taxes. If we had an honest money system in this country, we wouldn't have the national debt that we have right now. President Obama, has just enabled the bankers and the federal government to get the American public in debt to the tune of $13 trillion. Now, we're not going to get a break from the banks on this. This is interest-bearing. I call them the gangsters, and Guido doesn't show up to kill you. He shows up to break your legs to remind you to repay the debt. This is one of the quickest ways that we could find our way back to our constitutional roots is by getting rid of the privately owned corporation, the Federal Reserve, getting rid of the surety for the repayment to these bankers called the IRS. These would be major steps. And people to get energized once again. There's a lot of confusion. There's a lot of fear out there right now. But there is the solution to this, and it is people's involvement. We are the government. Most people forget that. You and I are the government. So we need to start exercising our rights. If you don't use them, you're going to lose them. And the threat is that we're on the brink of losing this entire republic. So people have to get involved once again. They've got to start asking these questions. They've got to start going after their state representatives. They've got to start communicating with other people. They've got to start educating themselves and bringing them up to speed. Being an American, you have a duty and an obligation to live in such a great country such as this. There is, from time to time, a little work to do. I know that's a four-letter word that most people don't like to hear. But by duty and obligation, not only to ourselves, but the subsequent generations yet to come, it is our duty. So I would suggest that we start there, going back to the Constitution. Get more people involved, get more people educated, and I think we can do this nonviolently. If we do not, there may be another scenario for these internment camps, whether they be under Department of Homeland Security, FEMA, or whomever else. There could be a second American Revolution in this country. And I'm one of these people that don't want to see blood running in the streets. But many people have the opinion that that's the only way that this nation is going to be restored to its greatness. And that's another reason why these FEMA camps.
Well, there you have it. Now, that's a very reputable commentator, John Stattmiller. And I'm going to throw it out here in the field with Mike Willig and, of course, Kurt. And I'm going to start with Kurt. Kurt, from what you listen to, as you can see, a lot of this is already tied in, already happening. And just so everyone knows, I've been an emergency volunteer in so many different departments. I still am today. I'm a DAT, disaster assistance training for Red Cross, all kinds of different organizations I'm involved in. And we're constantly having, trainings. And these trainings sometimes aren't making too much sense, like trainings for sicknesses, training for diseases, when it seems to me to be applying to martial law and those kinds of circumstances, all right? So, things are actually moving in the direction that we've heard this evening. So, Kurt, what's your opinion? What's your commentary?
Boy. Well, all I can tell you is this. I hate jail food. And nothing worse than arguing over the TV, Hank. You know what I mean?
That's right.
And, you know, the root of this country's problem, a lot of it, and he touched on it there, was the Federal Reserve. The Federal Reserve is a central bank, and I believe Thomas Jefferson, not verbatim, I'm not sure word for word, but said that a central bank is more a threat to the standing sovereignty of a nation than an army. Now,
Hamilton,
I don't know
yeah.
that's word for word, but it's pretty close. And that entity was formed on Jekyll Island. And
right.
what it is old money, Rockefeller, all the old money that's still in this country and
that's
still
right.
the power in this country. And part of the problem in this country is that we have a central bank.
That's right. That's right. Well said. Mike?
Yeah, Kurt's right on with that Jekyll Island thing. The Wilson administration in 1913 basically allowing the taxation of Americans' income to pay the federal banks for the money that the government basically gets from them. So we were turned into farm animals then. But I want to touch on something in that last interview. Stuttmuller was his name, was that Stuttmuller?
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
And you know, he's right. We're as Americans, we have a duty, and in the Declaration of Independence, which is very, very closely tied to the Constitution, it wasn't written as a separate thing. It was a predecessor to the Constitution.
Right.
But it says that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their powers from the consent of the governed, which is us, that whenever any form of government becomes destructive to these ends,
right.
it is the right of the people to alter or abolish it.
That's
sound
right.
familiar? And
that's
to
right.
institute new government, laying its foundation on such principles and organizing its powers in such form as to them shall see most likely to affect their safety and happiness. So basically, we're as citizens, we're supposed to watch our government, and if it gets out of hand, we're supposed to act. We can't just
that's
allow
right.
them to do it. We have a responsibility. We do have work to do, and that's exactly what's happening now. It's a government that's destructive to the ends of the Constitution.
That's right. Very well said. Mike, I'd like to thank you this evening for taking the time out. And
pleasure.
Of course, where's your restaurant, brother, so all
bikers
can go there and get some good fish?
Yeah. We're off exit. Either you can get off exit 17 or 18 or 19 of the Northway in Hudson Falls. We're just we're on River Street. We're just, I don't know, around the corner from the Kmart up over here. We're on River Street, 115 River Street.
Mm-hmm. What's the name of it?
Adirondack Seafood. We're all seafood. We have a fish market, restaurant, takeout.
Open every day?
We're open every day. Mondays are our short days, 11 to 2, but you can get us lunch and dinner any other day.
And you get all you can eat, Kurt.
All you can,
all
eat,
you can
fish
eat fish.
Yep. Hank's a big
yeah.
fan of that.
Wow. Oh, my God. I leave but there. I got to wash my clothes for like a week later because I filled the pocket.
Right.
Yeah.
We got to wash the seat when you leave, too, Hank. Because you get so excited when we bring the fish out.
Sounds like Hank.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Well,
it's
been a
pleasure. Very honored. Yeah, we're very honored, Mike. And thank you again, and we'll see you again next week.
Sounds good. Kurt, take care, and we'll talk to you next
week. All right, Mike. See you in the bushes.
Be good.
well said. Well said. With that, well, Kurt, we're going to jump to another track from the Cardiac Noose, American Outlaw CD.
Great.
Sun and nothing.
I'd like to congratulate Lisa Petroselli for accomplishing her dream to publish a book. Not just any book, but a book on those in the American biker culture right from this area, many of whom you guys know. And it's called The Gloves Are Off. Now, let me just read you one of the many reviews she has received from notable authors on the topic. Quote for quote, "This is a strong, well-written book about pride, brotherhood, and faith between brothers. It's about men and women who share motorcycles, the vehicles of freedom for so many, yet understood by so few." And that's by K. Randall Ball, editor of Biker.net.com, or Bikernet.com, excuse me, and author of Terry the Tramp, The Life and Dangerous Times of a One Percenter. So stay tuned for more exclusive news on the book's release, and it'll be any week now. She is just as great as an example for others to represent this culture, to establish some history on this culture, and get it put in the right part of the library where it's supposed to be, not in the crime section, and, you know, get some more respect for the culture. And that's the thing. We're talking about a culture here, part of American history. We're talking about 1% are the key keepers of that culture. So I'm just asking everyone, like a preacher, for Christ's sake, will you stop being against everyone and dig what's happening to you while you're kept busy? Cut it out, right? And I'm telling the authorities the same thing. Drop your guns if you're given orders. Don't do this. This is nonsense. You got brothers, you got sisters, you got family, all right? Everybody is interrelated when it comes to something like the NDAA, internment of fellow citizens. Cut the shit. Let's start protecting cultures and American history, all right? Okay. And with that, I'm bringing back on Kurt. How you doing, brother?
What's up, Hank?
Hey, we got an event coming up. You do. And I'd like you to talk more about that. This is really righteous and really nice, and of course it's got its exciting elements. What's happening?
It's the Rolling Pride Motorcycle Club's first anniversary party, which I'm an officer in, and it's April 28th from 2 o'clock till whenever, and it's at the American Legion Post 91 on Main Street in Mechanicville. It's $15 a person, $25 a couple. And that includes the music of Cardiac Noose and a couple other bands to be announced, and also Cowboys Barbecue. And we're going to have 50-50, and the drinks are reasonably priced because, after all, it is the American Legion, who a lot of people fought and died to have. That's what
That's
makes
right.
it America, Hank.
That's right. And I understand you got a special feature there where Bad's
I
going
do.
Up.
I have something we're cooking up right now with BAD. For all the brothers who don't know, it's Bikers Against Discrimination, Hammer and Hank McGrath. And I've invited him to be my special guest and accompany me in my coffin on my hearse to this event. And there's already quite a buzz going on about it right now.
Yeah, it'll be rather cool, right? So
it's going to be wild, brother.
Yeah, April 28th, and where is it again?
It's at the American Legion Post 91 on Main Street in Mechanicville. For those who aren't familiar with Mechanicville, they might be familiar with Jack Byrne Ford dealership. It's kind of like right behind that.
That's right. So I want to throw a little thing out there for Humpies. Now, did you already do that Thursday night, Humpies?
This is coming up the 22nd. This coming Thursday night from 7 to 9, our club, Rolling Pride, was asked and invited by Humpy and Judy to be guest bartender at their bar down there, and we graciously accepted. So that's
cool.
What's going to happen this Thursday night. We'd like to see you there, Hank.
Yeah, that would be really nice. That's Humpy's at 2197 Central Avenue. And yeah, and I tell people that not only is it a place where some of the most powerful biker brothers in American biker history have sipped a drink or two, but have enjoyed camaraderie and friendship with the community. But many a big-named rock musician has scored there as well, making Humpy's a place you can enjoy light moments of freedom and fare. Now, Mike and Judy and all their crew invite everyone to stop by, wet your whistle, and enjoy their new biker culture screen. They got this TV screen hooked up with pictures, slideshow of pictures of history of various bikers and clubs that have come there. It's rather cool, you know, and the question is, are you on it? You know what I mean? So
we're all on it, and I guarantee if you go there, Hank, you'll know somebody on it because There's thousands of pictures on it. It's awesome. It's a really cool thing.
That's right. So there it is again, Humphrey's, 2197 Central Avenue, Albany, New York, and that's Thursday night. You ain't doing anything. Just stop by, wet the whistle, you know?
Come on and say hello.
Yeah, say hello. You know, give some support, right? So soon we have some very interesting guests, all right? And before we go there, that's at 9:30, where we'll be talking about an event that's coming up this weekend, where I'll be Bad and Spirit of Bikers will be part of a TV show in Massachusetts, Curtis. That's going to be
cool.
Rather cool, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And these brothers will be coming on, and I've got a little surprise for them as well. So, but I wrote a note here prior to the show, and it's for people to go to YouTube and type in the search at YouTube, motorcycle checkpoints. Now, I found this disturbing, Kurt. All right?
Yep.
That's why.
Yep.
Because when I went there, why is there only one or two clips? Where's the speeches from organizations? You know, all these big, you know, 40-year-old organizations that represent bikers and stuff. Where is their speeches? Where is their actions? Where is their you know, groups where there's evidence, documentation, eyewitness shit regarding motorcycle checkpoints? Check it out for yourself, all right? We need
yep.
some more shit up there. And here's how it's done. Biker media resources, I've been campaigning all this year so far, to get biker media resources, whether it be a magazine, a radio show, or a TV show, they need to develop reporter coverage. A biker reporter at all club events and rides, provided with identification and confirmation by the media sources. If you do not know how to do this, contact me at bikerrights@yahoo.com, and I'll direct you to the credential resources and how to structure the source into your organization, group, website, blog, magazine, news source. Then, when there are roadblocks, the reporter may elude the detection and observe and document for legitimate news purposes. This, in turn, will provide public knowledge and evidence for attorneys if the news source deems proper to release the product. All right? Now, you understand that idea, Kurt? I mean,
Hank, that is slicker than shit right there, what you just said.
Yeah,
that
this
is
what it's what is needed, and it can't be stopped. In other words, it's one thing stopping a biker who's just with them, with a group or with a club, and they're going, I have a right to take my picture. All right?
Yeah.
To somebody who has credentials, and I'm here for bikernews.com, or I'm here from, you know, New Jersey Rider. I'm here for...
Here from BAD,
Freedom
Radio. How
yeah,
about that?
That's what I carry is credentials. My shit can't be taken from me. I am protected by the Constitution. I'm not involved. I'm not involved in any conspiracy. I'm merely interested as an investigative reporter in the news, all right, of this American biker culture. And if I'm invited to an event, I have this identification on me that I can show everyone, all right? Show the authorities, and I am permitted to take pictures, all right? I've already done this. I've been doing this for years, all right? So I suggest that all media sources, Kurt, that have to do with motorcyclists, bikers, whether you have a blog online or whatever, contact me at bikerrights@yahoo.com, and I will show you how to get solid credential, what moves to make, all right, and all inexpensively, and have an individual protected, okay, who
that's
has nothing
idea.
To do with the club, et cetera, et cetera.
That's
we need more
idea.
YouTube videos out, right?
That's a great idea.
Yeah.
I think
so,
that, a lot yeah. more and more that the reporting and the news media aren't doing their job. They're one-sided, and they're controlled by a lot of it by the government and by political interests and by corporations, and it's a shame. It's sad.
Yes, it is, and that's why... we've developed the idea. Bad has developed an idea. We studied the American biker culture before we ever began. There's a number of us across the United States who got together on conferences, and a number of people, honorary members like Lisa Petroselli and other individuals. We all got together and we conferenced, all right, as non-bikers per se involved in a culture. How do we approach this? And we decided we'd approach it with anthropology in mind, you know, like dinosaurs and shit. All right?
Sure.
And the history of it all, rather than club business, is none of our fucking business. Your family business is none of my business. My family business is none of your business, Kurt. You know what I mean? But
absolutely.
The culture is all of our business. And we realize that, like Lisa and several others have verified, you go look for a biker book in the library, and it's in the fucking crime section, even though it's a poetry book. What the fuck
yep.
is going on?
Yeah.
You know? So we realized that, number one, we had to establish the culture. Number two, we had to publicly educate people that this is a legitimate culture. Recent stats that I haven't completed yet have 98% of people. I stand out there and publicly give people pamphlets and stuff and ask some questions, brother, right? And one of the questions is, are biker clubs legitimate clubs? 98% of the folks that I ask, even though I ask some folks, I target them on purpose, all right?
Yeah.
I try to get as much non-biker as possible, Kurt, all right?
Yeah, sure.
And the answer is 98%, no, that they're outlaws, they're gangs. Where did you hear this? On the news, on TV, and from the authorities. My cousin's a cop, and he told me. Really?
Nice.
Did you know that clubs have a license to be a club, that charters are have agreements and license and protections, and that people pay
taxes?
We have
rules and we have laws,
and
too.
Rules? And none of these people, of course, I educated these people, all right? And I'm not finished with the survey. It's going to be a hell of a survey, because it's actually against the campaign I'm working on now, against the propaganda machine that is actually weak now, all right? And let's jump back to Lisa Petroselli's book.
Okay.
It delves into the culture so well, using mini biographies of each individual who's in the book who has to do with the culture in one sense or another. And it's rather fucking cool. It came out nice. We even have a professor of psychology from a local college who studied why the government fears bikers. This is great, and it's in her book.
It's all about
freedom. This shit is hot, all right? So let's start establishing documentation, and that's what initiating a reporter, training somebody to be a reporter, if you're a news source or you're a blog, et cetera, a magazine, make some real reporters. Not some people who go to events and party. Yeah.
I have a question for you, Hank. Where can we get this book? I know you probably could approach New York Writer, but is it on the bookshelves? Yeah. Is it in stores?
It's about hot. I'm doing the early gun fucking release, right? It's at the publisher right now as we speak.
Oh, okay.
All right, so it's about to be released, and Bad is in a hurry to be the first one to even announce it. You know what I mean?
Great.
But all the work has been done, everything's been prepared, and it's hitting the press. So you'll be the first to know, Kurt.
Great. I can't wait to read it.
Yeah, it's going to be really hot. And, of course, there'll be more news as we go on. But that's what I'm saying. Let's all establish the culture, because that culture needs to be protected, just like cowboys and Indians, just like African-Americans, just like the Irish in America, just like, let's cut the fucking shit. These ain't a bunch of rolling. You get on your motorcycle, and you're a fucking criminal. What the fuck is going on here?
When I come home at the end of the day and I take my cut off and hang it up, I'm an American, plain and simple.
And when you're out on the road and somebody's swerving into you or somebody doesn't like you, you're on a motorcycle, you're an American then, too.
That's right.
You're a citizen. And, yeah.
Just exercising my freedom of speech.
That's
which,
right.
Which, if we don't do something, we're not going to have.
Yeah, that's right. And you know, again, I speak to the authorities again. Just in case you're listening, there is no in case. You are. How you doing, guys? All right? But don't waste your time and call for your donuts. It's not good for you. All right? But
Yeah,
and I'm smoking a joint right now. All right? But
yep.
I'm from a hidden bunker, as you know. So it'll take you some time to get to me. All right? Nonetheless, what I'm saying is we all have our lives. I don't fuck with you in your life, but I do know inside shit. I do know citizens can go all get together and go in the pub you hang out in. I know you got steroids in your pocket or in your fucking bag in the car. I know that some of you smoke fucking herb, too. And I know you do other shit, too. Come on. Cut it out. cut it out. The same thing that you participate in getting together with people and raiding clubs and all this other shit, you're involved in that shit too. None of us are fucking, you know, perfect here. We're talking about a government that's going beyond you. So, come on. Let's all work this out. You're really supposed to be getting the guy who's chasing after the old lady and other kinds of stuff like that, all right? All right, hang out with that, and you're righteous, and we'll all give you a little salute sign, all right? But when you're discriminating, you're biased, all right, and you're doing this other kind of shit, it ain't going to work for bad, and it ain't going to work for the American biker culture. It's dead and stinking now. Right, Kurt?
You got that right.
All right. So, Kurt, I'd like to thank you for spending time with us tonight, and I'm going to I'd like you to give a little shout-out to your club and to all others and to the American Legion, etc., bro.
You got it. Rolling Pride, MC, first anniversary party, April 28th, American Legion, Post 91, Mechanicville, New York, on Main Street, located behind Jack Byrne from 2 till whenever with Cardiac Noose, Cowboys Barbecue, a couple of other bands, 50-50 raffles, and reasonable drinks. Hope you guys can come.
There you go. Reasonable
and don't
drinks,
forget,
man.
I'm bringing Hank in my coffin.
That's
so, and we got a little surprise, and that's all I can tell you right now. So
that's right. That's right. And I thank you again, and I'm honored, and I salute you, Kurt. Thank you, brother.
Okay, Hank. I'll be in touch.
You have a great night.
Later,
and with
brother.
That, we're going to – you got it, man. You know that. And with that, we're going to hit another Cardiac Noose song to bring an entry to our upcoming guests, which are Gino Gentile and Pete Bickovich of the Human Factor TV in Massachusetts. And these brothers are great, and they're seniors, not senior citizens, seniors. And we're excited about bringing them on. We got a little good news to tell them and also talk about some filming that will be going on next week. So with that, we're going to hit some Cardiac Noose.
bitter end. The bitter end.
Oh yeah, Cardiac News, and of course we still have Kurt with us, co-hosting. His wife threw him out, and he has a cell phone on him. All right, so, and we'd just like to remind everyone listening, all right, bikers, especially 1%ers, are not terrorists. And by the time we finish, the public will realize that these gentlemen, these individuals, this lifestyle, all right, is America. It is such a heart and pulse of fucking America, all right, that the public's going to agree. And we're attacking hard the propaganda machine, which is actually breaking down. They wasted a lot of time with outside terrorists and wars and money, all right, where they've lost, all right, a lot of the fervor that they attempted. And it's we're moving ahead. And that's what this program today was all about, all right, establishing recognition for the American biker culture and the key keepers of that culture. And with us, we have two individuals that we're very honored to have on tonight, Kurt, and that's Gino Gentile and Pete Bickovich of Human Factor TV in Massachusetts. Hey, Gino and Pete, how you doing, brothers?
Hey, Hank.
Hi, Hank. Hey, how you
doing? Hey, Gino, how you doing, brother?
Hey.
Thanks for having us on, bro.
You know
that. Problem is, we're not terrorists. We're our own enemies. That's the only problem.
No, we know who the real terrorists are, and it's not bikers, you know.
More Americans.
It's the politicians.
Yeah, yeah.
But let Hank have the floor for a few minutes, Gino, before you start in with your...
Hank.
Yeah, he's ranting and raving. Yeah.
He drank Mountain Dew, so he's all hyped up.
Hey, Gino is our elder here tonight, ladies and gentlemen. Gino and Pete, I'd like to say hello to Kurt, Gino.
Hi,
Pete.
Kurt.
What's up, guys?
Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you guys, too.
Thank you.
All right, and of course, we're honored to announce to both of you, Pete Bickovich and Gino Gentile, that the Freedom Action League, all right, has once again began choosing people to through referrals based on background and what you've done and how you've helped so many people, those who would receive the President's Volunteer Service Award. And, of course, the Freedom Action League is honored to tell both of you that next week during a live TV show in Massachusetts, you will receive that award from BAD and Spirit of Bikers. And, of course, Satan Cycles as well. If everything works out, they plan to be there. And we'll be giving you awards from the President of the United States. What do you think of that?
Wow, that's thank you. That's unbelievable, man. That's an honor. That's, you know, thank you.
Yeah, that's great honor.
Yeah, never had anything like that before.
I always help people anyways.
Yep. That's quite the honor, Hank. We appreciate that. I'm sure Gino does as well, and that's just...
Yeah, I never got nothing when I was...
Definitely something I'm going to put in a nice frame and put on my wall.
That's right.
And
that's right.
I'm speechless, but thank you.
And you hold it in front of you in your frame when the military kicks in your door, right?
Yeah.
Be the last thing they kick in with me.
Yeah.
You hear that.
Yeah, right? Hey, Gino. Gino, tell us a little bit about the Human Factor. I mean, this is a TV show that actually has reached out, especially when you get prime time like our show, where you'll be covering us, Satan Cycles and Spirit of Bikers and BAD. And I understand there's a couple others involved. Is that right, Pete?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. But this show is actually, it gets some pretty good ratings and a lot of people watching this TV show. Is that correct, Gino?
My mom, you know, it's a local access television show, but a lot of people watch it. And
We got
primetime slots a few times, and my mother called me up and said that she, hey, you're on TV at 8 o'clock at night on a Friday night.
You know,
we try to make the shows interesting. Sometimes we argue, and Gino might walk off the set. But other than that, it's a good show, you know.
Yeah.
You know, it's an interesting show.
Yeah.
We like to have special guests on, and we're honored to have you and Satan Cycles. And Gino will probably have his president on. I'm not sure.
Yeah. Yeah.
I would have liked to have had my brother on, but I'd like to... That's not going to be possible because he's locked up right now. So.
Right.
But, you know, other than that, it's a great show, and it's going to be, it's probably going to be the best show he's ever done.
Yeah. Cool. Who's filming? Did you decide yet?
Gary.
Gino, who are you talking to?
No, the train station here, some nice, sweet, you know.
Okay, you're on a live radio show.
Stop
flirting with the women, man. No,
Gino's on a fucking train, man.
We got 23 minutes to make our point. I'll carry Gino because he's a little slow tonight. But, you know.
Raina looked at me. She thought I was cute.
Yeah, they all.
Gino is 68 years old, right? And Gino's 68 years old. Yeah. And he's been a biker practically before he was born.
Right.
And,
the first street gang I was with was the Pack Rats.
That
guy used to be on the Morton Downey Jr. show. If you can
I used to. Do you know what Mort called me? The nicest killer you ever met.
The nicest killer you ever met. I mean, come on. Can't beat that.
You guys are interrupting.
Yeah.
Good day.
Yeah, right? As you can tell, Kurt, this is going to be one hell of a TV show, right?
How do we get that over here in New York? Is there any way
CDs are going to be made of it. Well, I'm going to bring back DVDs.
Yeah, there'll be plenty of copies for people that want.
Cool. Yeah.
We don't, you know, we only reach certain towns because it's local access television. Hopefully, we get bigger someday and we can reach tons of people. But there'll be copies available for people that want them, and Hank will have full access to that. You know, we'll make sure. Yeah.
Three cities, they'll go nuts for you.
You know,
yeah.
You might be able
He's
to
still
do
flirting,
shows
right?
in. You might be able to do a show on Saturday and one on Sunday, depending on the weather and everything. You know what what's going on with Gino's schedule. I mean, you know, who knows?
It's warm today.
Yeah. So Gino's still out there flirting at the train station. It sounds like.
Well, the president of my club, Steve Abraham, he's a conductor, and I had to meet him.
Nice guy.
Right.
Yeah. I mean. Not a terrorist. He runs the train.
No, he's a nice guy. Really. Actually, he's probably going to be on the show with us.
Yeah, if Blue comes down. I don't know.
He's a very well-spoken and educated man.
Good.
He's a biker himself, and
he'd be good for bad too.
Yeah, he'd be good. Exactly. He would be.
Yeah. Right.
While I'm remembering it, I'd like to just give a few shout outs, if you don't mind.
Well, absolutely.
I have these people on my mind. Obviously, my mother, who is very sick right now, I love her very much. Her name is Janet. Saying hello, and I hope she gets better. And obviously, my fiance Christine, who is Gino's cousin, by the way.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
And to my brother Paul, who's locked up right now, and to all the great listeners out there, and to the red and white community, many respects to you.
There you go.
Thank you.
Beautiful. Yeah, Gino, would you like to say a prayer for the show? Because, you know, probably by the end of the show, I'll probably be raided.
He's good at that. Give him a prayer, Gino.
Come on. Lord, forgive us for what we're about to do. And
sounds like we're at a mob dinner or something, right? Come on.
Oh, maybe the Lord always.
No, honestly, Gino does. He does. I've seen him on stage at Pig Roast, and he knows the Bible like the back of his hand. He knows Scripture.
Yeah.
He's just joking right now, but he actually, if he wanted to, he could probably give us a decent prayer. But you know,
yeah,
we don't want to turn this into a Holy Roller show either.
Yeah.
We love
Plus
God.
Plus the girl is probably looking now, right?
We
the
love God.
We
love God. We leave it at that.
Yeah. Yeah, I used to use the pages of the Bible when I was in the box. I used to use the pages of the Bible as rolling paper, you know? So,
I'm sure you
I'm going to hell. Yeah, I'm going to fucking hell.
What's the hell, first of all? So I wish people get off that crap. You go back to the Bible.
Hey, yeah, go ahead, Zeno. Come on.
What?
Go ahead, man.
Well, no, we got to save. We get.
Gino, pay attention. It's tough work. Your girlfriend's probably listening to the show.
Yeah,
put Kurt, the girl
you
on.
Yeah.
You know, we don't want to
get
into it.
Get back to the screen. Hey. My president wants a coffee. I got to give it to him.
There you go.
Hank, if you wanted one, I'd be right down with it.
You got it.
I'm a loyal servant.
There you go.
It makes me
so,
servant of who we don't know yet.
Yeah. Hey, Pete. So this is going to be good. Live on TV, we'll be able to... issue those awards to you guys, and we'll be able to cover for the public some more American biker culture news and information. Matter of fact, it's Kurt's event. Hold on a second. Kurt's club is putting on the event we're going to talk about as well, Kurt. We'll be talking about your event at during the TV shows in Massachusetts next week.
Well,
so that'll be pretty cool. Yeah.
Well, awesome.
Yeah, give another run on your event, Kurt.
April 28th, 2 o'clock, upstate New York, a little town called Mechanicville, New York, on Main Street, oddly enough. American Legion Post 91, Rolling Pride MC, first anniversary party. It's $15 a person, $25 a couple, featuring Cardiac News music, two other bands to be announced, food by Cowboys Barbecue, and I don't know if you've ever had his chicken, but it's the best.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And
yeah.
That's what all the fixings, Hank.
Yeah,
and it's at the American Legion, which translates into an American place to have a party with cheap drinks and good people, mostly veterans.
That's right, and Bad's going to be there. A matter of fact, Pete, Gino, I'll be traveling in a coffin. Now, Kurt, tell them about your business, The Final Ride. Listen to this, guys.
I started a service up here in upstate New York. As far as I know, I'm the only one. I have a sidecar for my 99 Road King, and I modified it, made a flatbed out of it so I can haul a casket next to me on my sidecar, and it's for the brothers and sisters up here who don't have anything like that. It's for your last ride, your final ride, is actually what I call it. And it's being well received so far.
Yeah. And you can find it on Facebook, Pete, so look them up on Facebook.
What would it be under now?
If you look under my name, Kurt, CURTBYRNES.
I'm sorry,
and then you,
CURT, I'm here now. Okay, Kurt.
BYRNES.
Oh, Burns.
Yep.
Burns, I got you.
If you friend me on Facebook, and then, you know, I friend everybody pretty much, unless you're COP.
Okay.
But
wow, I see the bike and the casket. That's cool. I mean, it's not cool because it's a casket, but that's cool.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah,
that's the casket. That's the casket I'm riding Hank in to our party.
Yeah.
That's right.
Nice.
That's
bike.
Right.
Ooh, wow.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, Bad will be riding in that and come rise from the dead at that party, April 28th. That'll be pretty cool.
Leave it to you to be the one in the casket. You know.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
But
well, I hope you don't
need
me. But if you do, I'm available.
Well,
absolutely.
When I leave this earth, I'm going to find a cave and put my bike and sword there and be left there. Everyone can party on the money I give them.
There you go, Gino. That's nice,
cool.
Right? So you got
really
your sword,
nice
right?
That you did with this bike, Kurt. It really is. I'm looking at your pictures.
Yeah. Gino, you got
anything like, I've never seen anything like that before.
Gino, you have a sword, right?
Gino has a sword, yeah. He's a samurai sword.
Yeah, I love samurais. I like the... I like honor. Truth and honor is my code.
Right.
I believe if you can't, you know, tell them the truth, what good is it?
That's right.
Liars, all they do is keep on They keep on changing it. They keep on, this is, they get caught easy, put it that way.
Right. What's your view of the government, Gino? Being an elder, what's your view?
So I've the government has always been corrupt anyway.
Yeah.
Corrupt mafia anyways. Because if you look at it, Ricky Luciano, he had to let go, the federal government begged him to let go of docs during World War II. My opinion is, it's who you vote for. Voting is very important because we're a democracy. So if you put in a bad guy, then, hey, shame on you.
Yeah.
You know? I don't get into it. I'll talk to you, Hank, when I'm alone with you.
I hear you, Gino.
Who you vote?
This is the same guy that assaulted a police officer with a chicken bone. A drumstick. It's a true story.
Man, when I went extra, in the court,
I hope it was extra crispy.
It came right off the bone and it hit the cop in the chest and they arrested him.
And it was headlines of the year, 1987. You can see it. And it was funny because David Letterman wanted me on the show. I said, I already made enough enemies. I don't need to go on David Letterman. So, it was just funny because Judge goes, so, okay, how did that happen? I said, well, I just pointed the chicken. They came out. They didn't come. See, when they come in the house and they're just giving you a summons, that's not a warrant.
Yeah.
They can't come in your house. They're just supposed to hand you the summons. You know what the judge told the cop? He says, if I would have had a gun, I would have shot you. You're lucky. He only threw the chicken at you.
Was it extra crispy or just?
No, it was Kentucky Fried Chicken, slimy, you know, real quick.
Right off the bone.
Yeah, that's quick.
No, that's funny.
Let me tell you something, though, and it's really the truth of the whole thing, is Judge, when he heard it was a summons, he told the people on the stand there, they said, he dismissed the whole jury, says not guilty. He didn't even go through. When he heard it was the summons, it was like a whole different world. You've never seen.
But what would the charge be? Assault and battery with a chicken bone?
Yeah, assault and battery with a chicken leg.
Assault and battery, A and B, assault and battery on a police officer with a chicken bone.
Yeah, chicken leg.
Chicken leg.
Yeah.
Non-extra crispy. I mean, come on.
That's because the cop next to him said, you can hit a cop with a piece of paper. He said, that's assault and battery. You know what the judge says? Well, I'm not going to convict him.
And that's because you were a biker, right?
Yeah, and I'm going to tell you something, too. You know what the federal government feds told me one time when I think, says, no, you didn't do nothing, but we'll pay two lawyers just to hang you.
Gino, do you think if you threw
a
shot of coleslaw at the cop, you might have got time?
Sleaze. They're sneaky. They create crime. They don't even exist.
Thank God it wasn't a donut.
I'm telling you,
they create crime. They create the crime. They need...
Yeah, so you can see it's going to be an interesting show by Gino's actions on this show. I don't know what just... Are you okay there, buddy?
No chicken, Gino.
Yeah, no fucking chicken.
No chicken.
Someone's trying to call me. It's probably going to ride on.
Well.
There you go, Gino.
I'll carry you, Gino, if you need to go. I'll carry the show, as usual.
Listen, God bless, and I promise you we'll have a good time.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Gino. Gino Gentile.
Hey,
and
nice
human
to meet you.
Factor. Yeah.
Talk See to you
soon. All right, brother.
All right, brother. Talk to you later.
Yeah. All right. Yo, this guy, Kurt, is a great guy. Primarily, all right, it's important the fact that he is a senior. You know, somebody that's older, that has actually lived a life, that has maintained the culture, that knows how important honor and respect is, and has had to be a man, you know what I mean, up against all odds. You know what I mean, Kurt?
You know what's cool about him I picked up on? It's one thing that nobody can take away from you, and that's your respect and your honor. And it sounds
like
he has both of those.
Yes. Yeah. And Pete as well. Pete, this is really going to be a cool event, man.
Well, yeah, as you can see, you know, because he's a little out of it, it makes for an interesting show.
Yeah.
And I usually, like I said, I have to carry it most of the time, and,
yeah,
you know, that's fine with me. I mean, he's a good guy. And,
yeah,
like, he did walk off the set one time because he didn't agree with what I was talking about, but
yeah,
this is going to be a different show. We're going to have a good time.
Yeah, that's right. We got, I did get confirmation just seconds before the show from Brian that, by all intentions, Satan Cycles will be there. What happened is he's got so much work. You know how right now during this season, everybody's bringing their shit in. They got to fix so much shit. You know what I mean? Bike repairs and so. But all the planning is definite thus far.
Cool.
Okay?
Yeah, cool.
So that'll be really righteous.
Brian's good people. I shared a booth with him at the Syracuse swap meet with my hearse. He had all his parts and stuff, and I had my hearse right next to him for the whole weekend. We had a good time. He's a good egg.
Yes, he is. And that's what I was telling Pete, that he's usually a last-minute guy, too. In other words, he seems a little mumbled and fumbled sometimes, but he knows his shit, knows everything about a bike. He could take a garbage can and a chair and a table and somehow make a motorcycle out of it. It's weird as shit, you know?
Yep.
Yeah. And as well, now, Kurt, are you, if a brother from Massachusetts, right, because I also want to propagate your business, the Final Ride, during the show, Pete, you know, I'll be able to do that, right, talk about his business as well, the Final Ride?
Absolutely.
Cool. Yeah.
We want you to.
Yeah.
You can reach me if you need me. My home phone is 518-289-5872. Or on my email, which is Kurt, CURT64BY@gmail.com. And you can reach me either one of those two ways, and I'll definitely get back to you.
Beautiful. So going to Massachusetts isn't difficult to give a brother his final ride. Is that correct?
I'd ride out there, no problem.
There you go.
Yeah, you're a good man for doing that.
Yeah.
I've never seen anything like that before.
Yeah. And I think it's quite the business. You know, I saw a car.
We had to put him up for one of those awards.
Yeah. I saw a car recently that I wanted to hip you to, Kurt, that I'll give you the contact number for. It has a coffin attached to the back of it, too. Matter of fact, it's a rat. What's the name of that? Remember them cars? The guy died, but he used to design?
Yeah.
So
he did all
really
the hot rods and stuff.
Right. So that's pretty interesting. I wanted to hip you to that. I'll call you on it tomorrow.
Rat Fink.
There it is.
Yeah, Rat Fink.
This guy's got one. Yeah.
Cool.
Really.
With a coffin on the back. So I mean, if you were able to get that sucker plus what you got already, hell, man, you'd put most of the funeral homes out of business.
Well, I don't want to do that.
You know, I when I die, I want to be put to ashes, mixed with some hashish. All right, and then cut up, packaged, and sent to different friends so they can smoke me. You know what I mean?
Or snort you. Like Keith Richards, when his father died from the Rolling Stones.
That's right.
He snorted his father's ashes.
Nice.
It's true. He mixed him some cocaine, but he did snort his father's. That's true. I read the book, and I've seen interviews, but he admitted it. Not something I would do, but.
That's true. Hey, hold it. Oh, fuck, I'm watching the screen outside. Yo, Kurt, grab your shit. Get out of here. Get out of here, Pete.
Later.
Pete, make a move. Make a move,
boom,
man.
Boom.